But I want to move on now because we have a late diversion. The controversy around Sinn Féin's ABU database has put a lot of focus on data in politics. Who's collecting it? What's being collected? Where are they holding it and what are they doing with it? All of which is the specialist subject of Dr. Kevin Cunningham, who is, of course, a statistician as well as being a lecturer in politics in TU Dublin and also MD of Ireland Thinks. Kevin, that Sinn Féin issue is still being examined, I understand, by the Data Protection Commissioner, so we leave that to one side. But just talk to us about the old days, like, because haven't political parties always gathered information on voters?
Yeah, I mean, the use of data as a tool for political campaigning, that goes right back to the development of modern political parties, even at the turn of the 20th century. It's almost ingrained in what we consider to be a political party today. Back then, there was the emergence of what people call now as mass parties, which were these parties which had lots of members, and those members paid in a membership purely to get their party to help to organise a vote. And so one of the first people to identify how valuable data was the founder of the British Labour Party, Keir Hardie, who had this quote, and he said, "Perfect your organisation, educate your followers, look to the register, spread the light and the future is yours." And that idea of having a register, having a list of voters that you want to go out and work with, is just inherent in what we understand modern politics to be. Subsequently, there were subsequent developments. I mean, the earliest use of computing technology starts with the JFK's 1960 campaign, which, rather bizarrely, I'm not really sure how they used computers back in 1960, but there was a team of data analysts from Harvard and MIT, and they ran a kind of a strategy called Project Microscope. And this was running computer simulations to analyse words of speeches and try to understand targeting and all that sort of stuff. All those sorts of things actually have been around for quite a long time, and they've developed to a great extent in some countries, but not necessarily to the same extent in Ireland.
Yeah, we are a bit behind the curve here. Well, some of us are, perhaps. Talk me through how it's done here today.
In Ireland, it's slightly different. I mean, one thing to bear in mind is that there's a thing called GOTV. I should mention what GOTV means. And that's basically what people do in other countries. It's called Get Out the Vote. And what they do in these countries is they spend months and years trying to canvass people to understand exactly how they intend on voting. That's literally doing what we would call here as a hard canvas. So that's asking people exactly how they vote and recording them on their kind of national register. And then on polling day itself, you're talking about hundreds of people knocking on just their supporters' doors repeatedly just to make sure that they get out and vote.
But this does happen here. I remember as a child, you'd know who would be sent out in the car to bring the widows and the, you know, various people to the polling station because they knew they'd do the right thing.
It definitely does happen to an extent. The polling day feature is very different. Certainly my experience in Ireland and in Britain is like chalk and cheese in terms of how we do our canvassing and how we do our data, basically. I mean, one of the main limitations of Irish politics is this idea of intra-party competition, where within a party, your main rival isn't necessarily candidates of other parties, but it's actually candidates within your party. And so that creates a sort of a limitation in terms of the extent to which people are going to share data. And because they're not sharing data, because they're not allowing, you know, next generations of candidates or even sharing of data between councillors and TDs, that means that the amount of data that they have to, you know, do a big GOTV operation is very, very limited. So the Irish sort of GOTV operation is far more limited. I mean, I should say there has been some organisations that have been very effective, but that's because they've kind of worked around these issues, that they've actually organised themselves quite coherently together. I mean, there was the 1970s sort of Blaney's Donegal Mafia, which was essentially a network of Fianna Fáil councillors and candidates that worked together in very clearly demarked parts of the constituency. And on that basis, they were able to kind of gather a very clear understanding of their constituency. They became known right throughout the country and were used and deployed in lots of different by-elections. And in fact, there's a book written entirely about Blaney's operation in Donegal.
I was thinking, just as you were describing that there, of the Drumcondra Mafia, that extraordinary machine that was built around Bertie Ahern over those years. You know, huge detail, yeah, in terms of every single street, somebody on every street that could give them the intel on, you know, what everyone was likely to do come election day. And also the Healy Rays, of course.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, there are clearly operations. I mean, if you're inside Kerry, you see the Healy Rays have a very cohesive group of a very cohesive team, and I think that's one of the most important features of where these sorts of tactics are deployed more or less effectively. I mean, the Sinn Féin example is quite interesting because they have a national voter file, and other parties that large, at least, wouldn't really have that. And I think
is that the case? I mean, I'm just asking Paul here in front of me. Does Fianna Fáil not have a national voter file?
No.
Why not?
Well, actually, it's really interesting to listen to, because the electoral reform bill is coming through the Housing Committee as well. And it's a really positive bill, and there's lots of good stuff in it. But long before the Abood database came out, we started to question the whole issue of the electoral register and social media advertising. And I think that's the real issue, is that when you... The electoral register is a very significant thing. It's entrusted in candidates' hands. And to amalgamate it and augment it by adding details on a national scale isn't, I believe, something that's it within the spirit of the existing legislation. It's not something that has been done in the past by any political party. But the interesting thing, Katie, is how does that national database interact with a social media advertising strategy?
OK, but is the public, is the electoral register, is that not just a public document?
It is actually quite hard to get it in that format. It's entrusted. You know, you have to abide by GDPR criteria and data protection criteria. Even if you're giving it to Canvas leaders and so on, you have to make them aware of the data protection criteria. I find when you use people's names and addresses on the door, it actually off-puts voters, and we tend not to canvas with the register. But go back to the point I was making there, Katie, about the linking it with social media. Because if people are giving you information as a public representative, and that data is being used in a way that is, whether it's with online political advertising or in another way, on a national scale, I think that is something different that's been happening.
Okay, let me just put that to Kevin. That's exactly what Paul was describing there.
Yeah.
Is that commonly how this works elsewhere?
Yeah, and in the Democrats, the Labour Party, Britain, most, the Australian Labour Party, predominantly actually centre-left and left-wing parties, for which the challenge of actually getting out low turnout demographics is actually a much bigger feature. So it's very much directly connected to the Labour movement more generally, where it is about organising itself. I mean, one example of this, if you think about Barack Obama's experience as a community organizer, I mean, that was a very important part of his upbringing. In fact, he referred to his experience as a community organizer as the best education he'd ever had, better than everything he'd got at Harvard Law School. And that idea of representatives, of people who are very connected with local communities, as opposed to, you know, all-knowing legislators, is probably a difference in politics of how different people see politics between the left and the right. But more broadly, in terms of what political parties in Ireland do, my understanding is what Sinn Féin are doing, albeit the separate issues around how they're connecting it with social media, is effectively what other parties are doing at an individual level. And there's probably other issues at an individual level that TDs mightn't be as careful in their own Excel files that they all tend to hold in relation to how they're managing that particular data as well. So it isn't probably just Sinn Féin, but it's actually probably, there are certainly GDPR issues, I'm sure, in lots of different areas within the system. But that broad picture of the role of using data, I think it's quite inherent in that democratic ability for politicians to actually connect with people more generally. And I think it's a very important part of democracy, really.
Yeah, would you agree with that? I heard you hemming there along with Paul McAuliffe, Gerard Howland.
Well, I mean, I can remember a time when checking the register, the draft register, was an essential part of the organisation and unit's role. It would go house to house, knock on the door and say, Katie Hannan, we've three electors registered. Is there a fourth? Are you happy that everyone in the house is registered? And they would try and draw you out and have a sense of where your affiliation lay. And, you know, that was done very thoroughly when parties had on the ground organisations which have largely faded. I think the problem now is that with all of this data, your supermarket has so much data about you and about me, for example, Google, that when you meld different databases together from different sources, you paint astonishingly deep pictures around people. And it is the possibilities of all of that which I have to admit only dimly understanding, but I find eerie
it's our understanding, like, yes,
so you're instinctively uncomfortable with it.
Like, Katie, yesterday Sinn Féin launched 220 micro-targeted ads, right, on the issue of housing, right? All audiences less than 1,000, right? Very difficult on Facebook to be able to, with the parameters, get an audience less than 1,000. I suppose it's a realistic question about how they identify those micro-targeted audiences. If you fill in a Sinn Féin survey saying you're a renter with issues, are you then targeted with ads? If you go into a Sinn Féin office and you're interested in housing, does that go into the national database and is used
does it,
target,
do you know, Paul?
To target ads?
No, not my office. No, we operate.
What information do you give a bill?
Well, we operate. The electoral register. I don't give it to them.
Give any data to a bill.
The data that we collect is exactly what people have just talked about. When we knock on a door and we ask a person, "How's it going?" And you talk about your politics, you talk about their politics. You ask them, "Would they vote for you?" You then connect that with your register,
and you give that back to central.
You write that down. Then you're a data collector.
Yeah, but sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. My point is...
Well, then that's a failure of your system if you don't write it down.
Sometimes we collect it and sometimes we don't, is my point. But the question is, do you take that data, fill it back into central office, and do they then use it for a social media strategy?
Well, no, not that I know of.
But what information do you provide?
Look, the simple thing is, we're engaging.
What information do you fill in on the appeal system?
We have the electoral register. What has just been explained...
But what do you add to the electoral register?
We don't add anything to electoral register. We have a database, which is the electoral register.
Okay, Paul.
Which
says voter preference.
Which says exactly what I've explained, what exactly was explained in terms of how people canvass, how Bertie Ahern canvasses and the drum counter map and all those.
What do you add to the register, Paul?
Okay, you know what? We're going to have to come back to this because we are actually completely out of time and I'm dying to know the answer to that question. But we will come back to it again. That's all we have time for.